This is the Moshpit Backstage Podcast for punk, metal, and rock interviews and segments.
Listening to the Mosh Pit.
American horror punk rock icon Jerry Only is most famous for the Devil Lock hairstyle, and there's also this band called The Misfits, one of the greatest punk bands of all time. Welcome to the Mosh Pit, Jerry.
Hey, thank you so much, Stefan. How you been?
I've been absolutely fantastic. Where am I calling you from, Jerry?
Well, I'm in Utah right now. I'm on my way to Denver. I have a show tomorrow night in Denver, and I'm on my way from California. So the stretch of road is just too far. So we stop about halfway through. So we are in Utah right now.
Oh, beautiful. So if we could just get the hair question out of the way, how do you recall, or what's the story when you came up with Devil Lock?
The Devil Lock was created by having a spiky blue haircut. And that summer, we really weren't playing so much, so I wasn't bleaching my hair and then dyeing it blue. I kind of let it grow out. So it was probably about 4 inches long. And then I start combing it in the front, like Elvis with a little curl, or like Superman. And then the next thing you know, it was the end of the summer, and my hair was so long that I just pulled it down the front. And I said, look, I'm going to dye my hair black. I said, this is the way to go. And there it was, boom. I think it was like the summer of 78. So it was a good time.
Is that surreal, like even today, when you see people, imitating the hairstyle that you're credited with creating?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's cool. My job isn't so much to look back at what I did as it is to look ahead what I need to do. So, I think my time is occupied. Like, I see people do, come to our shows, looking like me and all that kind of stuff. I think it's cool. I think it's really funny. I think that, I got to do it every night. So it's like, I'm just looking, wow, okay, you guys, you're so lucky you get to do it for a night and you don't have to do it every day. It's a lot involved. Well, you know what I mean? I like the band. I think the band is worth anything that needs to be done to keep it really cool. So, I try and work it that way. And really try just to enjoy everything I've been doing. And, that includes, writing with my kid. My kid's in the band. And working with the girls. I got an all-girl band that's opening for us. They're all young girls. It's great. They're really great musicians. And, very impressionable people, So the thing is, people are coming up with fresh ideas. And I think that really that's what music business needs. I mean, you don't want to be seeing the same old band, for the next 20 years, play the same old songs that they made back in the 70s and the 80s. You want to see a band that may have been from that time that's making great new shit. They're saying, hey, time has no chain on me. And so that's really the way I look at the Misfits. I look at the Misfits as a band that has more years ahead of it than it has behind it. And that's, I think, what really makes the show that we're about to do for you guys really important. We're coming right out of a full-blown U.S. fall tour and coming into you guys hot. I mean, we play Saturday. Sunday we're home. We have to unload the truck and drop it off and get our gear back in our rehearsal facility. But we have flights the next day. So I mean, I know we hit New Zealand. I think we got three. So three will get us nice and hot, and then we got a couple of days off to heal our wounds, and then we come to you guys. So are you in Australia?
Yes, that's right, in Melbourne.
Okay. Very, very cool. We're good friends with the Sea Snakes. Did they dock by you?
Sorry, what was that?
Sea Shepherds. You ever hear of the Sea Shepherds?
Oh, yes. Yes, I know the Sea Shepherds, yes.
Yes, yes. They're good friends of ours. They'll be at every show. And, we support them and give them all the merchandise at the end of the tour for their crew. And, they go out and keep our, keep things right. So, Melbourne to me is a very cool place. I wanted to play on the docks. I told them, I said, hey, tell you what. I said, you got three boats. I said, figure out when the three boats are going to all be docking at the same time and let's throw a benefit show. I said, let's rent the PA, and let's get, you know, we'll fly down. I got, you know, I always get flyer miles in the band. I said, look, I'll fly the band down, and you guys, you know, rent the gear, and we'll do it. We just haven't gotten it together yet, but I thought that would be real fun, you know.
Awesome. So you just mentioned before, so you're saying that there's new Misfits material on its way.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know when that will be coming out?
We got about six or eight songs that are written. Songs write themselves. I was explaining this to the last interviewer, so, you know, for me, it's like second time around today, but it's like throwing a seed on the lawn. You throw a seed out the window, and it gets wet, the roots stay cold, and the top starts to open up, and it goes, and that's how a song is. You get something that you play that is really catchy to you, and you throw it out there. And you say, hey, look, check this out. And then what happens is somebody's, now the creativity part comes into play. You got something solid. You got your foundation. Now what you got to do is come up with something really cool over the top. And once you, and that's the difference between hit songs and not hit songs. And, you know, it's that middle layer that is going to, you know, everybody plays guitar. Everybody's hitting the same damn drum. Everybody's, you know, playing a bass. I don't care if it's got 12 strings or it's got four. You know, it's a bass. Okay, so, you know, everybody's using the same, you know, 10 digits, but there's a million different telephone numbers, you know what I mean? And that's what songwriting is about. It's about coming up with something good on the bottom that you like to play, that you're not going to mind playing for the rest of your fucking life, you know, you know what I mean? And, you know, and then the stuff on the top. And I think that's what makes the Misfits really great, is that our middle layer is really cool stuff. You know, the new stuff, too. The younger fans like the stuff, the newer stuff that came out. And, you know, me, I'm a personal fan of the very newer stuff. I think Devil's Reign, for us, was a triumphant album based on, you know, what we had been through and the lineup changes and all that. I thought it came really, really well. To me, I listen to it now, I realize that, you know, we play a lot faster live than we do when we're in the studio. And I think that's based on energy levels. I don't think that that's based on musical talent. I think it's based on energy levels. You're excited. You play in front of, you know, thousands of people who are excited, too. There's an energy level that winds up being involved. There's an E factor, I guess you could say, that gets thrown into the mix. So what winds up happening, as a result, everything goes down a little bit faster.
Speaking of the show, now you are coming here to Australia and New Zealand in December to perform your classic album Static Age and Earth AD. Now, Static Age, I thought, is interesting because it's the first album you recorded, but it wasn't released in full for years and years. So why wasn't the album released in full to begin with?
Lack of perception. Record companies didn't understand what we're doing. They still don't. Now, you know, people are under the impression we're doing the Whole Earth AD album. I mean, that's something that came out. The Whole Earth AD album, each night is, you know, after doing what we do is incredible. I mean, we'll do songs, just so you know, from Earth AD, which I enjoy. We'll mix them up. But doing the Whole Earth AD the album just blows your voice. You know, it's not worth it. You know, Static Age album is about 17 songs, I believe. We do the songs that were also outtakes as well. And I think that the important thing was that with having my son in the band and having a fresh lineup, as I consider it. I mean a fresh lineup as having potential ahead of me, okay, not behind me. Okay, not worrying about really what I did. We're doing Static Age, so it says, oh, well, we're trying to be retro. I'm not trying to be retro. What I'm trying to do is create a complete second round of the band. And in doing that, I always felt it's best to start at the square one. Okay, so we were in the process of putting together an album. Dez got sick. My son stepped up to the plate. He's singing and playing. He's writing. We're working on new songs, and I said to myself, let's do the best show we can. We put together an old girl band. We got the She Demons that we put together, because as you write songs, for me, there's a progression. In the beginning, a lot of the songs are a little bit poppier and a little bit more melodic, and then as you start writing, they get a little bit darker and they get a little bit faster. So what winds up happening is that I don't want to really take the first couple of songs. I mean, if you look at the Misfits, we do songs like Saturday Night, or we do songs like Comeback. They're kind of mid-tempo songs, but they're good. Do you know what I'm saying? They're great songs. So the thing is that, you know, I write a lot of them in the beginning. And the girls are a perfect outlet for that, for me, because they're very melodic and they're very well talented. And they were all picked based on actual performance as opposed to looks. Youngest just turned 20 yesterday, and the oldest is 30 years old in April. So, I mean, I got a band of all girls, and let me tell you, they rock. And so the thing is that, you know, we were trying to build one of these ultimate bands, and it's based on songs. So, I mean, that's really goal one for me. Get my ass down to you guys, get the shit out of the way, and start writing some songs. You know what I mean? That's really where it's at. You know, I got two machines that are ready to go, you know, go global. I just got to get them to a point where they got something that's going to be so worthy of getting the best people to run the organization. And that's how I'm looking at it now. You know, it's a matter of me really looking inside myself and putting myself to the test after 39 years. You know what I mean? Just say, hey, look, you got to write 8 hit songs. You know what I mean? Right now. not a month from now, not a year from now, right now. Just boom. You know, but I'm hoping by the spring, you know, to be ready to record. And that's what I'm looking to do.
Now, you, the band hasn't been to Australia too often. In fact, the old lineup, I don't think, ever came to Australia. I was looking online, and I believe that your first show was in Australia was 1997. Do you know why that is? But you must have great memories of performing in Australia because you are coming back.
yeah. As a matter of fact, I do. I remember the trip. You see, Australia is a triangle between Hawaii, Japan, and Australia. Now, there's also, I forgot where we played. I'm going to say Nicaragua, but I'm wrong. There's Indonesia. Indonesia is between Japan and Australia. The ride from the airplane ride from Japan or from Korea, depending on where they make you land, is so long, and it is like driving through the jungle. It's you know, I actually got thrown at. You know, when a plane is empty, I'll lay down 3 seats across a row, buckle myself in with the first buckle and the last buckle like on an angle. So you know. I didn't do that this time. I just laid down. You know, the ride was not starting nice. I literally got thrown out of my seat into the ceiling, and my glasses broke in half, you know, and I was just like, you know, after the plane settled down, I went to the ceiling. You didn't have any crazy glue because, you know, my glasses got snapped in half. So, you know, it's I have a lot of recollections of coming to Australia, but based on the journey, I mean, you guys are far away. So, you know, the other thing is bringing equipment is an issue. I have a good friend of mine works for Green Day. He works for Foo Fighters. And he's in charge of the whole setup and all that kind of stuff. He did Taylor Swift. He did Lady Gaga. He did Madonna. He does everybody. He ran the Warped Tour for all the years I've known him. So we used to live together. I would park my Winnebago under the stage. He'd get me in the back door. And we'd lift all day, whether we were on the bill or not. It's a good time. So anyway... you know, he packs up gear. It's very expensive and very, what do I want to say? Not so much expensive for us. I mean, I could ship my show down to Australia, but we need to fly every day. If we don't fly every day, we got to get a truck and we got to drive. Okay, so that creates a whole new episode of how you're going to make this happen. You know what I mean? Yeah. So the thing, Australia's a hard nut to crack because although the shows are great and the weather's good and the people are cool, the distance between point A and point B, it's like Canada, they're so far and few between, either you fly or you drive. Now, if you fly light. And if you drive heavy. And so we haven't actually driven Australia yet. We've driven Brazil. That was pretty crazy too. Let me tell you what. We were going through the jungle literally on dirt roads. You know, like we had potholes full of, you know, brown mud. You know, it was crazy stuff. But, you know, misfits have been around the world a lot of times. And, you know, I think we're here to stay.
Yeah. Sounds like a fun ride. Now you are writing an autobiography. What amazing stories will be featured on this book?
You want to know what? And I'll be perfectly frank with you. I wrote a couple of things down, and they seem to be more stories than perceptions. And I think I need to rethink. I think that, you know, what I write is more important than when I write. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I'm not exactly sure. Please elaborate.
the product is more important than the timing of when it's done. So I wrote a couple of stories, and a buddy of mine who runs the Dutch Comic Con, who's come to all our shows in the U.S., with the guys from Diamond Distribution, who distribute all the comic books around the world. These are friends of mine, and we talk about it. And I wrote a children's book. The children's book will probably come out before the book that I need to write. But I need to write the right book. And I'd rather not write a book than write a book that sucks, just to write a book. You know what I mean? Why? Why would I want to do that? You know, it's just, to me, I want the book to really explain things and give perceptions of, how to find, your place, how to find, what you're supposed to do, how to do it well, and how to be able to make a living at it, where you can do and be what you want to be, but at the same time, based on all the bumps in the road that I had, you got an idea of what you're up against. Like with the girls, we just put the Demon Road, and Alicia was 19. Okay, now she looks like the vampire girl. They actually market it that way. So what happens is that she hasn't been on the road before, and she's starting to understand how hard it is to keep things moving. I got to be back at the bus at this time. I got to be up at this time. I got to do this. I got to photo shoot. I got to get ready early. I got to do this. I got to do that. Like, well, me today, it's my tour manager's birthday, and I got 2 days off. And they had me do interviews for 2 hours from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. I wanted to lift. I wanted to take a shower. I wanted to spend some time with my boy, Will, that's been, taking care of me for the last 5 weeks. His birthday, but the fans, and I hope they appreciate it, but they come first, and that's why to me, if you're true to your fans, you're true to yourself, and to me that makes the most sense. I think that the Misfits will never die, because I probably signed more autographs in my life than anybody else has ever signed, and I've never taken a dime, and to me that's invaluable. People remember that. People remember you taking a minute to say hello or to ask, hey, what's your favorite song? Or, hey, what did you want to hear that you didn't hear? And people say, oh, I wanted to hear this. And say, hey, you know what? I want to hear that too. We'll put it in the chat. We're doing 40 freaking songs. Who gives a shit? We do what we want. And I think that's cool. Now, you see, Static Age, like I say, because everybody tell me, oh, you're doing Static Age in Earth AD. Nobody has any idea what Earth AD is. It's still over everybody's head. It's so far over everybody's stupid head that I don't think they're ever going to get it. I think Earth AD is going to fade into oblivion based on the fact that people are just not propelled at that velocity. You know what I mean? And that's what it's about. It's good to do, probably like, the last night in New Zealand, give it a shot. I got 2 days or 3 days off. Maybe the first night in Sydney, give it a shot. But if I give it a shot in the first night in Sydney, wherever the hell we're playing the first night, I could be XYZ. We're playing XYZ on the first night. I'll pull it off. But, the next 3 or 4 nights are going to suffer because of it. And to me, it's not worth the payoff. People just don't get it. It's an interesting thing. But Earth AD changed the way everybody perceives things. You know what I mean? It's like the black hole in space. It's there. You just can't see it. So, I don't want the band to lose its own point. I think right now the band needs so much to so many different people. I don't think it's fair to say, oh, we're going to write a thrash album. Oh, I'm going to write a punk album. Oh, I'm going to write ballads. Oh, I'm going to write this. Oh, I'm going to write that. I don't think I have that luxury. I think my job is to write the best songs I can. And, in my eyes, make them as aggressive as they can. I think that, I think our songs lyrically and, musically should have total, aggression. And I think that I think that's the one thing I don't want to get away from the picture. But at the same time, I don't think we need to be vulgar. I think that that's really distasteful. So, I mean, you know, I do Bullet, you know, but I'm doing Bullet and I'm doing Last Caress, which I both find, you know, a little bit, you know, when you read the words and you hear the words come out of your mouth, you're like, yeah, you know, what am I saying this for, you know what I mean? But at the same time, it's part of the album. So it's part of art, it's part of expression, you know what I mean? I think I can do better. And so that's how I look at the band going forward. I look at the band as, you know, we're the Misfits. We can do better than what we've been doing. Anything in the past, we can do better. And then once we do that, we'll evaluate ourselves, we'll find our weaknesses, we'll attack them, and we'll say, next album is going to be better. My vision for music is now quick releases, great artwork. Let's not spend years making a product. Let's spend a month making two songs and make a product and release it. People are buying CDs, they're $5, they're $10, and people ain't going to drop dead over that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we're doing a single. I'm bringing 100 singles to, just so you know, to Australia, because I figured you guys don't want to spend the postage and wait 6 weeks for the damn thing. So I brought 100 with me so that, you know, I know somebody, kids want them, they got them. You know, I won't be able to get more. It's too short notice, and you know, it just won't happen. So, but you know, I think quick releases, EPs. The Misfits used to do EPs and singles all the time. We didn't have the money to record a full album. Static Age was the first time we got money to record a full album. And actually, the guy who Glenn called on the phone just manages, this guy made a deal with managing Volby. They handle Metallica. It's Cute Prime. It's so funny because the guy, you know, I'm talking to the guy backstage at the Volby show, and he says, yeah, I'm Cliff Bernstein. Yeah, I said, I know his name. I remember. He goes, yeah, one day I get a phone call from Glenn. And he's like, yeah, you owe me money, you know what I mean? So that's how we got the money to make Static Age. Now today, 38 years later, I'm hanging out with Cliff Bernstein, backstage at Volby, right? And I'm out with my son playing Static Age. Who would figure? You know what I mean? Who the hell would figure the same people who were there day one are still there, you know, 38 years later, and now we got a new kid coming into the picture, and it's just going to keep going. So, you know, it's going really, really good. I'm happy with it. I mean, you know, we don't have a Misfits yet, but I don't think we need one. So I think the most important thing is, you know, getting home, writing some songs, coming down, giving you guys a good ass kicking like you really deserve, you know that. And, you know, take it from there, you know, just come home and, you know, me and my kid come up with something great. The people just go say, ah, that's Mr. Album. We got to go and get that thing, you know.
I've got to ask about the grave robbing story. So you were locating Marie Laveau in 1982, and you got arrested and bailed out the same day, I think, and you performed the show. Is that what happened?
No, as a matter of fact, it was the next night. The next day, we got bailed. Oh. what happened was that we put our ass in the wrong place at the wrong time. When we should have been focusing on getting our, you know, getting, you know, some rest and getting to the next show. So the bottom line is we go out with a bunch of guys and the cops arrest us. I mean, there's a million details I could tell you, but I ain't got time right now. So the thing is that what happens is that we wind up getting arrested. And the next day we go before the judge. And we had a post bail, and he said, well, I'm going to give you a court date, blah, 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 blah. And we had a show the next day in Hallandale on the beach, actually in Florida, on the sandy coast. They had a really cool place. We were like, yeah, you know what? We'll see you later. So they let us out of jail. So I didn't tell my mom. And, you know, I call home and see how my mom's doing. I was checking on my mom. I said, hey, Mom, how you doing, man? We're in Florida. She goes, hey, you were on MTV. And I go, yeah, you're kidding. What? He got arrested for grave robbing, you son of a bitch. What the hell are you doing? You know, any kind of shit. So, I mean, you know, that's the deal, you know. Look, you know, no harm meant. I mean, we're just a bunch of loud kids looking around. You know, we're trespassing, and bottom line. I mean, you know, but good story, though. I mean, it's an involved story. It took me a half hour to tell you the whole story, how it all went down. But, you know, that's up for the book. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that's stuff for the book I got tonight. But the point of the whole story that you're asking me to tell you of this legendary thing is that we should have been paying attention to the ring. You know what I mean? We should have been worrying about, you know, we shouldn't have been out drinking with our boys in the middle of the cemetery in the middle of the night. You know, we got a show the next day in Florida. We should be hitting weights and, you know, not that we should be boring, but we should be dedicated. You know what I mean? I think that's the moral that I'd like to put across. You know, like, these stories are great. You know, people want to hear them. But I think they need to be put with, you know, hey, look, we fucked up. That's why you heard about this. In the meantime, you know, this is how you get yourself heard about doing positive shit. You know what I'm saying? So I think there's a trade-off in the book. I'm just not exactly sure where it is. I'm going to go back home. And first I'm writing music. And once I get enough songs in the hole where my head starts to spin, then I'll just, like, start writing books. I'll start from the beginning when I was a real kid and, you know, hanging with my uncle and family people and things. You know, the way the world was in the early 60s. You know, a lot of people have no idea how it was. You know, I grew up in the 60s. So, you know, my dad's got parts on the moon. So, you know, the machine shop all came into play, too. So, you know, it's all connected. I think that's the one thing that we all need to understand is that everything we do is connected. And that, you know, everything changes everything. And that's the beauty of life is that it's so unpredictable. It's beyond comprehension how unpredictable it really is. If people would have told me when we got the band back together that Doyle would be playing with Glenn and that I would be playing with my son, I would have laughed in their face. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, what the fuck are you talking about? You know what I mean? That ain't gonna happen. You know, and it did. You know, so, you know, I think that's the beauty of life. I mean, it is what you make it, and people need to realize that. And I think, you know, Australians have a good time with the band. We have a good time with you guys. And I think that's what it's about. I think it's about, you know, cutting loose that night. I think it's about us getting together and saying, let's go. You know what I mean? You want the band, we want to play. Let's do this shit. You know? And I think that's the attitude to have. I think if you have that attitude, you don't lose your edge. You know, we're not going to lose our edge. I guarantee that. I mean, that's the one thing. If this band's here, it's going to be flat out, you know, every day. So whatever we got, you get. And, you know, we enjoy doing it.
So last question. There's been a lot of cover versions of your songs. What would you say would be your favorite version of one of your songs?
I haven't heard them.
You haven't heard them? You don't listen to cover versions of your own stuff?
No. You want to know what? I am not qualified to answer that question. I couldn't tell you. I've heard Metallica does a good job. Volbeat does Attitude. You know, I know the guy's doing the job, but, you know, it's good. What's my best one? I know there's a million of them out there. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't make that call. Like, you know, we were just listening to Neil Diamond doing the song from it got covered for Pulp Fiction, and we listened to the difference of that, you know, the original versus the thing. I do have one thing for you in this category, though. When Caroline released, like, a Misfits tribute thing, a band covered Return of the Fly and did it like it was Swing from 1930. I found that to be the most impressive thing. It was like we covered them. And I kept listening to it. I go, man, it's like if these guys came up and said that their great-grandfather made this and that we ripped them off directly, I said, I don't know if it could even debate it. You know what I mean? We're at fault here, you know, and it's our song. So I know it's our song, you know, but, I mean, that's how cool it was. And that was the one thing I was really, that's the one thing that impressed me about any Misfits cover. Everybody in this world that plays guitar can cover a Misfits song. And that's the beauty of this band. Okay. Anybody that can play our stuff. Okay. Can they keep up? 99.9% no.
Even Metallica?
Okay, that's the beauty of this band. You know, I just, you know, I came to an epiphany talking to you, is that everybody plays the Misfits. Yeah, everybody can play the song, but not the set.
Jerry Only will be performing with Misfits on Friday the 11th of December in Melbourne at Max Watts Venue. So thanks so much for joining us, Jerry. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, hey, Stefan, no problem. Hey, kids, you know, if you don't come, you can hear about it. That's the way it works. So, you know, Stefan seems pretty cool. And you know, you want to let loose and bring it down, and if not, stay the hell home. It's pretty simple.
That's it.
Stefan, really great talking to you. Great question.
Thank
Sorry
you.
I couldn't get into too much detail on some of the other stuff, but you'll read about it and you'll remember it and you'll laugh.
Yeah.
And you'll think of me and you'll say, that son of a gun. No wonder he couldn't talk about it. It's a whole chapter long. You know what I mean? So, you know, you'll see. All right?
Awesome. Well, thanks very much, Jerry, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Goodbye, Stefan.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Moshpit Backstage Podcast. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and Omni. To find out more about the show, go to www.syn.org.au/moshpit. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/moshpitonsin and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at moshpitsin. The regular Moshpit radio show broadcasts punk, rock and metal tunes and interviews every Thursday nights on Sin 9.7 on FM and digital radios. Listeners outside of Melbourne, Australia can stream Sin 9.7 online at www.syn.org.au. Thanks to Vintage Ruin for the music.
Hi, this is Tomato from Flash Gun Apocalypse.
Hi, I'm Enid from Girls Go.
I am Phoebe Pinnock from Heaven the Axe.
Hey, this is Gary Olmey of The Misfits.
Hey, this is Kat Sproul from Horizon's Edge, and you're listening to The Mosh Pit on Sin FM.
Hi, this is Aina from Leopard.
Hi, I'm Virginia Lilly from the band Lily.
This is Raul from 1349.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Ali from Zebrahead.
Hey everybody, this is Charlie Benante with Anthrax, and you are listening to the Mosh Pit on Sin.